produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Once again, greeting my precious brothers and sisters in Johannesburg. This is Pastor Roxanne Maestri, live from Johannesburg in South Africa. Once again, I'm so excited that you have tuned in, and I know and believe that your time with me is not going to be wasted. You are going to be empowered. You are going to be uplifted, and you are going to be known as the Most High, as the daughter of the Most High. Let us pray first. Father, in the name of Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, I thank you for this day that you've given us. I thank you for the breath that we have, my Father. I thank you, God, for your grace and for your mercy. And I thank you, Lord, that you have woke us up this morning, a new day, a new challenge, a new overcome, in the name of Jesus. Once again, family, I am so excited and I'm so honored to be interviewing Tanya Du Plessis. Now, that sounds very Afrikaans. Yes, yeah, in South Africa, you have Indian, that's me. You have Afrikaans, you have colored, you have blacks. But you know what? In the eyes of God, we are all one. We are known as the child of the Most High. But let me not take your time and let me introduce to you Tanya Du Plessis. Tanya, welcome once again to Who Told You Show. It is such an honor to have you. You are a stunning, beautiful woman, but she's going to tell you all about why and how she became so beautiful, because she has a salon. That's the secret. So Tanya, how are you?
Good morning, Roxanne, and everyone listening. As you said, my name is Tanya, and yes, I do have a salon. I am from the West Rand, and I am 33 years old. I am a mother. My son is 8 years old and very precious to me. I only have the one. And yes, I am married. So throughout the journey that we are going to speak about, my husband has been so supportive of me. And I must say that is also what makes me who I am, because my husband has his unconditional love and God's unconditional love. You cannot think that the journey that is behind you, what God has brought forward in that, and the love that surrounds you when you go through that. So yes, with the salon, I've had the salon for almost 12 years now. And
oh, Tanya, now you like you're going on gear 6, you're on fast forward. But hold on, before you start with all that God has done for you, because I'm going to forgive you for doing that, because I can see the glow in your eyes. Therefore, you have no other reason but to speak now for God's glory. It's so understandable. But Tanya, before we go to where God has taken you, I'm going to take you right back in time. I'm sure this is not the Tanya that people know about. I'm sure deep down, behind those beautiful eyes and that beautiful smile, God did something for you. Can you perhaps take us back? Who was the Tanya that we now don't know about, that you are comfortable to speak about?
Yes, Roxanne. Who I was before is not the person that I am now. I went through a lot of trials and tribulations, a lot of heartache, a lot of hurt to get where I am now, but God has really turned everything around for me. So I grew up, I was born in Randfontein, so I grew up there. And then a few years later, after my marriage, we moved to Rustenburg. But I've always had a very good relationship with my parents. I said to my mom about 2 days ago, if I say, thank you, Lord, I really have the best parents, I really do mean it, because I've got such a stunning relationship with my parents and my son as well. And still, even though I'm 33 years old, they do everything in their power just to see me happy. So they have raised me in church and they have taught me to have endurance and to push through what you have to do. So yes, my parents taught me of God, and that I am so grateful for.
Well, my brothers and sisters, the Bible does say do not be envious, but Tanya, I'm very envious. Wow, it sounds as if you and your parents have such a loving relationship. I'm like so excited to hear about that. Can you give me, I don't want to make you cry, but can you tell me more about your parents? Because, you know, in the days that we live in, not everyone has the opportunity you have. I mean, for me, example, we didn't have parents like how you, because as you're talking about your parents, I can see the glow in your eyes. And then you just want to speed up and tell us all about your parents. And at a point where you don't want to share your parents with us kind of thing, you know, but I just want to pound on your parents. What makes them so loving? I mean, why I'm trying to get at is that how supportive are they, were they, as you're growing up?
Well, to start off, my dad, what my dad taught me was the endurance part, to you do not fall around in life.
Wow.
My dad has been working for the SABC for over 35 years now, and it's his second job since he came out of the army. So yes, they lived in the same house for 30 years, and then circumstances, they had to move.
Okay.
So my parents, from my dad's side especially, he taught me that you have to be disciplined. Mm. You have to be neat on yourself and have endurance. When something gets hard, then you really need to hold on. And whenever something got hard, and I used to sit in my room and cry when I was in school or so on, even now still when I am, not even in school anymore, my dad comes and says, he's like, can I pray with you?
Aww.
And then he would go into a prayer and he would anoint me. And yeah, so that is my dad. And I do get emotional when I speak of my dad, because I don't think he notices how much I love him. Mm. And yes, my mom has been standing with my dad through everything.
Sure. See, now you just got me more envious. Oh, Lord, forgive me. But your dad sounds like the men, or the man that we speak or we hear from the Bible. You know that our father's supposed to be a godly man. Our father's supposed to be there to support the children, the family. And your father just sounds like an enormous giant covering his family. I wish he could adopt me. Oh, so sweet. What is your dad's name?
My dad is André Rousseau, and I must say, another thing that my dad taught me is who God really is, because no matter the mistakes that I made, he always forgives me. He forgives me, and he loves me unconditionally. And he would come to me and say, you know what, I did not like what you did now. I am disappointed, but you are my daughter, and I love you, and I will support you, and I will stand by you and go through this with you.
Oh, André, can you please adopt me? I wish I had a father just like you. But that is so precious. You know, Tanya, I don't know what you've been through in your past life, but that alone, just talking about your dad, I must say that you are really gifted to have such an awesome dad. I know that there are many daughters and sons as well out there listening to you and thinking, wow, I wish my dad could have done that. You know what? I need to invite your dad. I want to interview him. It's not your Father's Day, but you found a very precious place in my heart. Okay, so I know that behind every successful man, which is your father, there is a powerful woman. Can you tell us about your mom? What's your mom's name, and why, and who is she?
Okay, my mom's name is Ansi Rousseau. So growing up, my mom always used to be at home. She didn't work. So I remember the days where we used to live close to the school when we were in primary school, and my mom used to drive with her bike with us to school. And in the afternoon, she'd drive with her bike, get us, and we'd drive home, and that was really fun days. My mom is the one who also always protected us. She would pray for you. Sometimes you wouldn't even know, but she's really been the warrior of the family. And no matter what happened, my mom has always been standing behind my dad. So that is something that my mom taught me, is that no matter what, you pray. And you have to be a lady. So I remember growing up with my mom having her nails done, and she really used to have long hair, like sit on it. So my mom inspired me to be the woman that I am today. Take care of yourself and be proud of who God made you. And even though you have hardships in your marriage, they never used to fight in front of us. I can't remember fights that my parents had, even though I know they did have, because every marriage does. But my mom and my dad would keep it separate from the kids. So that's one thing my mom taught me is that you stand behind your husband and you pray for him and you cover him with the love of Jesus. Wow. So she's got that. She's like this really soft person. She's subtle and she's gracious.
Yes.
And yes, but yet powerful. My mom also works with me. So moving to Rustenburg, that was really hard for me, thinking about not having my mom in the salon with me every day. When I'm not with her, I'm like an hour's drive from her, but I would phone her and we'd like speak for more than an hour on the phone.
Yeah.
When anything in my life happens, I'm like, Mom, I just want to tell you quickly.
Oh.
So I always want to speak to my mom. So yes, my mom is, she's like an angel in my life, and everyone that gets to meet her, they're like, oh, wow, we love your mom so much.
I can agree.
Yes, so my sister looks more than my towards my mom than I do.
Okay.
My husband always, he makes a joke and it's like, I was switched to the hospital because I don't really look like anyone in the family. But yes, if I can just be half of the woman that my mom is.
Aww.
And if I look at the type of grandmother that she's to my son and to my sister's kids, I pray that I will be that person one day. So my mom has taught me the woman that I am today, even though I did have mistakes in the past. My mom has also taught me to overcome them.
Mm. Oh, I just want to stay on that topic. Can Tanya's parents please adopt me? I'm so excited. You know, it brings just tears of joy to know that you can speak about your parents with such passion. And for me, as you know, my story, that I grew up in an orphanage. That's why I keep on saying, please adopt me. But I'm so blessed, and I'm to listen to you. Okay, now let's just fast forward, because now I'm going to stay on this parents thing forever. So Tanya, okay, we know about your parents. We heard about your parents and the loving that they had for you and everything. But I'm sure, without shadow of doubt, there must be something on your journey towards teenage and adulthood. Something must have you did or said that you felt that you weren't in right standing with God. Can you perhaps take us back?
So Roxanne, growing up, I really had, if I look back at it, the perfect childhood.
Mm-hmm.
I was the Miss Goody Two Shoes in school. I never used to skip school. I studied hard. Academically, I did good at school.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't think I gave my parents a lot of trouble in school. You know, the normal child stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then after school, started studying. And I never had a serious relationship at school because I was a bit overweight. And I was I won't say the laughing stock of the school, but I had the popular friends, but I was the ugly friend in the group. So that was a bit hard for me. And I missed a lot of parties because I didn't want to drink when my parents didn't know about it, because that's not the way they raised me. So the trouble in my life actually only started after I studied. Most of the trouble started after I met my husband and after I had my son. So I think, yes, I had like a really, really good relationship with God. You know, going to camps and gospel events. And and then, yes, Satan, he knows what your downfalls are.
Your weaknesses.
And he will always use that against
you.
And if he sees that works against you, and you stand up, he will use that same thing against you, just in a different way.
Yes.
So I might get a bit emotional talking about this.
It's fine.
My downfall came When I met a certain person about 10 years ago, I met him before I met my husband, but then it didn't work out. So about 2 or 3 months after that, I met my husband, and I was committed to my husband, never cheated on anyone that I had a relationship before. And I was so committed to my husband, but we weren't married at that stage. I also felt pregnant before we got married. And at that stage, I was singing in a church band. I was the lead singer for about 2 years. And when I felt pregnant, the church condemned me a lot. They said to me, "You are a bad example because you are not married and you are pregnant and you can keep on singing as long as you leave him." And I said, "Well, my husband, he's prepared to stand by me." It wasn't my husband at that time, we also couldn't get married because he was still married with his ex-wife, but they were separated already. The divorce just took a few years to go through. But I really felt in my heart that he was the man that God sent for me. I met him when they were separated already, and I was also single at the time. So that was also a very hard journey for us to go through, but we were going strong. And then this other person came back into my life. And about 4 months before I got married to my husband, then all the wrong things started happening. So one night in my insecurities and I had my downfall. And my husband, he wanted to stop the marriage. And I said, like, "You know what? I'm really sorry. I didn't plan for this to happen. I can't, I didn't even remember everything clearly." At that stage, we weren't really going to church and everything because of the hurt that we got from the church after me falling pregnant. And I said to him, because when we got engaged, he said, "You know what, God, I do not have money." I clearly remember there was one day we were already living together that my dad did not approve of, but he said, "You are older than 21. I cannot tell you what to do. So I will still love you and I will be part of your life, but I do not like this." So I remember waking up the one morning, it was about 2-3 o'clock, and my husband wasn't in bed. So I walked through the house and I found him in the office, and he was sitting with his Bible. He didn't see me coming into the room. And I thought, okay, you know what? He's talking to God. It's such a good thing. So leave him in peace. And I went back to bed and I slept. And about a month later, we used to fight about not getting engaged. About a month later, he asked me to get married. In church. Because my father-in-law is also a pastor. So he had this whole preach going and I had to sing a song. And in the meantime, I'm singing at my own engagement. And then my husband said to him, that night God woke him up. And he said to him, "You have to get married because you're living in sin." And he said, "But I don't have money now." And he's like, "I didn't ask you if you have money. I asked you, who do you want to please? Your friends with a fancy wedding? Or do you want to please me by not living in sin?" And then he said, "Okay, I'll listen." So yes, I was blessed with a nice wedding. I had all the things that a girl can dream about for her wedding. And I also had rain on my wedding day, which I feel was a blessing. I was very peaceful, and I'm normally a person that stresses a lot. So yes, I did have my wedding after having cheated on my husband. And then I broke off all ties and contact with this person. Only for a few years later, the same person came back. So it was really difficult for me because I had mixed emotions and I had mixed feelings. And in any marriage, things happen that you hurt your husband and your husband hurts you. And and then Satan comes and he gives you that unforgiving sense in you that you hold on to what happened in the past. And I started believing lies. I started believing him saying, "You know what? You married the wrong man. He will not change." A lot of people also said to me, "He will not change." And I'm like, "Do you know what? You don't really know the person when our house doors close at night." But you start believing that. So I started having contact with this person again, and it started becoming a spiritual battle for me. And Yes, then the affair started again. It was on and off for about 2 years. I'm not proud to say, but I feel that I have to speak about what God has done. He came and he took my wrongdoings. He
Yes,
took my sin
yeah.
to bring something good forward, to glorify his name.
Wow, Tanya, I really, really, really take my hat off to you. Thank you for sharing that. You know, it's not easy talking about your dirty laundries, if I can put it that way. But I believe that the more we speak about our weaknesses, the more we encourage other people. And as you're telling your story, and it's actually not your weakness, it became a strong point because that is where you found God. More like yes, you grew up in a Christian home, but I can if I stand to be corrected, that while you were going through all of this mixed emotions, because the enemy comes and he mixes your emotions. Am I in love or am I not in love? Do I want more out of this marriage or am I just comfortable with this marriage? And that's where our mind starts going all about. But you could see that God's hand was upon you. And I think that is when you started having a relationship with God, where you said, God, you know what? You need to take my weakness and give, and I need you need to take it and bring something good out of it. And I really, really thank you for sharing. It's not easy. And I thank you for sharing that because I know for a fact someone out there that is listening who's probably going through the same emotions like you, and they're thinking, oh, you know what? I'm already in this mess, and God is not going to use me, or God does not love me. But somewhere along the line, you realize that God has better and greater for you. When did you realize the who told you? In other words, who told you that all the stuff that you've been through, that today God would not use you? Was there a turning point where you realized, okay, enough of that. Now I need to live my life for the glory of God?
I must say that during the time that I had my affair, I couldn't speak to God at all. It felt like I was blocked.
Yes.
I wanted to reach out to God, and I felt so guilty about not having a relationship with Him, but something blocked me. So there were days I have a little Bible, like a pocket Bible, a little bit bigger than that, that my mom gave to me a few years ago. There were a lot of days, because me and my husband also live apart with our working arrangements most of the time. So then I sleep alone. That I would fall asleep crying, holding the Bible. Sorry, I might get a bit emotional
That's
now.
fine.
Because I wanted to speak to God, but I couldn't.
Yes.
But I got anxiety attacks.
Okay.
Just to name it quickly, I had very bad depression throughout everything a few years ago. So I was in rehab as well for depression. And then they diagnosed me with temporal lobe epilepsy.
Okay.
And the doctor said to me, for the rest of your life, you are going to be on medication.
Sure.
And I can honestly say that on the 6th of October,
Wow.
it's been 3 years without any medication,
Praise God.
no
Amen.
epilepsy medication,
Wow.
no antidepressant medication.
Wow.
But I did get the anxiety attacks. I didn't have epileptic fits anymore, but I did get the anxiety. I would wake up in the early mornings and I would be so anxious that I would get sick from it. And I would cry and I would be so afraid of just dying because I knew I wasn't ready. So yes, God said to me, I will heal you of this
Amen.
epilepsy, but you have to stay close to me. If
Amen.
you wander away from me, I cannot protect you.
Wow, that's powerful.
I had one or two fits during my affair that I had,
Okay.
because I didn't speak to God.
Yes.
But the moment that I turned back to God, that stopped. And there are some days that I get irritated and I get a bit anxious, but then I go and I pray, and it's the minute I walk out the door, it's completely gone. So yes, there were days that I would sit on the floor holding my Bible, crying and say, God, I want to speak to you, but I cannot. I can't feel you. I can't hear you. And that was bad for me because He's my Father. He's my
Amen.
Creator.
Yes.
He has helped me through so much stuff in my life,
Yes.
and I turned my back on Him. And I think that all of those nights, all of the days that that happened, God was still working on something.
Yes.
He didn't throw me away.
Amen.
He didn't turn his back on me, even though I turned my back on him.
Yes.
So, eventually, I remember one day praying and I said, God, you know what? I cannot live this life anymore because we never know when God is coming back. It can happen now. What do I do if I am among the people that stay behind? Because I would not be able to bear that. If the anxiety that I have now, it will be much worse after Jesus has left and I was left behind. What if I die today? That was such a big fear. And then I started getting scripture about fear. God did not make you to be fearful. He made you to be joyful because Satan comes and he uses fear to steal your joy of the moment now. Yes, we have to plan ahead for the future. But most of the time it's about now. We have to not fear now because God is in control. He's already in tomorrow. He was there yesterday and he's here now. So we have to enjoy it. And I remember that was one prayer that I could pray. And for a few weeks, I couldn't pray again. But then God came and he turned it around. Yes, someone phoned me and said, listen, we know about what's going on. There was a huge fight. I was standing on a divorce. And my husband, he wasn't even mad. He wasn't even fighting. He just said to me, you know what, I love you so much. But I just can't do this anymore. And I remember him giving me a kiss on my forehead on my son's birthday, giving me a hug and saying, I love you, but I think it's time that we separate. And he walked out of the room. And that was hard for me because he didn't even fight anymore. And then I went overseas for about a month. My sister stays overseas. So I went overseas for a month. And I said to him, you know what? We need to work this out. I did not get married to get divorced. One day when I stand in front of God, I'm not going to say, yeah, but you know what? I was tired. He did this and he did that. And I did this and I did that. Because God did not create marriage for you to get divorced. And I said to him, you work here on your relationship with God. And I will go that side. And I will work on my relationship with God. And it really feels, I feel so blessed through it all. My sister and my brother-in-law were so, so good to me. I didn't have money at the time, but I had a month-long holiday in Europe. One of the best and most spoiled and blessed holidays. And it didn't cost me anything because that is the love of the people that I have in my life.
Wow, Tanya, you know, I can go on talking to you because you have so much to give. You know, the Bible says there is no condemnation with Christ. And I pray that those of you that are listening, that you will listen with a pure heart and with the maturity to understand that here's a woman who's telling you of her wrongs, but she's also who's confessing about her wrongs, but is also telling you that there is a God out there whose love, grace, and mercy pulls you out and gives you a second chance, if I can say that. I'm really, really blessed with this interview. You know, you've taught us women that, yes, we've messed up. Because let's face it, lots of people say men messed up. But here you are standing strong and you're saying, yes, woman, we have messed up. And I also want to just pause and take a moment and thank your husband. What's your husband's name?
His name is Jock.
I want to say thank you, Jock, for standing by her. Yes, you may have, as she mentioned, you may have walked away. But obviously there was a Holy Spirit inside of you that told you, listen, you can't let go of this beautiful woman. Thank you, Jo, for standing by her. Thank you for giving her a second chance. And that also reminds us of God. God gives us a second chance in life. So who are we not to give another second chance? Tanya, I really, really want to say I honor you. And I appreciate, she's getting all emotional there. And I appreciate the fact that you stood strong. I mean, you could have, you didn't have to tell us all this stuff because you could just come and say, you know, this is who I am, ABC, and leave us as to who you are. But you've shown us your weakness. But in through your weakness, you are saying to the world, listen, God is our strength. And God will pull you through. Tanya, as we end off, there's someone out there, another woman out there who also feels that she messed up in a marriage, who also feels that she didn't do her best to save her marriage. What advice would you give to them?
If I can give any advice to someone, If I can firstly say that the reason that I shared this with you is not because I am proud of what I did, but because that is the path that I walked. And God expects of us to use your past to glorify your future in Him.
Powerful.
So for me, the forgiveness that I got, not only from God's side, but as you said, my husband stood by me.
Yes.
I cannot tell you the wonderful relationship that we have today.
Wow. Thanks God.
He's not jealous.
Yes.
He trusts me to go wherever I want to.
Yes.
He doesn't check up on me.
Yes.
And he's got the full right to do that after everything. He doesn't do that.
Mm.
And he forgave me and he stood by me. And I came from having a perfect childhood to becoming a grown woman that got broken into pieces.
Yes.
I was on the wrong pathway. I was not on my way to heaven.
Mm.
And I broke my own desires. I broke my own dreams.
Yes.
And I was a mess.
Mm.
I did not see any grace towards me anymore to having to continue with my life.
Mm-hmm.
Although I was still hoping. God sent the Holy Spirit to put that hope in me.
Mm.
So I came from a broken woman and within a blink of an eye, literally, God came and he turned everything around for me.
Wow.
Since I came back from overseas, everything that I've been praying for years, everything that I've been dreaming for, with having a future in singing, everything changed around.
Mm.
He brought new business opportunities for me. He brought new people into my life that praises him with me.
Mm.
And he gave me a new marriage.
Wow.
So if I can give any advice to anyone out there, if you are having a relationship with someone else, turn back to your husband, turn back to God, because there is something better that God has in store for you. You just need to be open for it. Do not look at the bad and the negative stuff. Try to focus on the positive stuff. Yes, when you are having a relationship, at the time, everything about your husband irritates you.
Yes.
And you are looking for a fault in him that can say, okay, it justifies what you are doing. Do not do that. And do not live in denial, because that was what was stopping me. I was denying that I was doing anything wrong. I was denying that I am the bad person. But when you start condemning what is bad, then that changes around. And if you are in the other situation when your husband is having an affair, keep on praying, because God will turn it around.
Amen.
Anoint your husband and anoint your house and anoint your children. And if your husband opens up to you and the affair stops, do not hold it against him. Be vigilant, have your watchmen on your walls.
Yes.
But pray for your husband still and forgive him.
Yeah.
Because if I did not see the forgiveness that I got from God,
yes,
and from my husband, from my parents and everyone, I would not be the person that I am today.
Amen.
I am still not where I want to be, but I am on my way.
Yes.
And I'm excited to work for God.
Amen.
So get onto the right path. Let God be in control and stop living in denial and forgive.
Wow, Tanya, that was so, so amazing. I'm definitely have to call you back, you know, to continue this interview, because I just feel that you have so much more. And this time I'm making it national. They're going to call your parents as well. So I'm going to interview you, your mom, and your dad, because I believe that you guys represent what a family should be. You know, there's no perfect family, but I just love the way you speak about your father, your mother, and I would love to interview them. Please ask them for me. And we're going to continue with your interview, because I just feel that you have so much on the inside of you. And I always tell all my guests and ask them the question, don't you want to write a book? Because I mean, there's a book inside of you. You need to write that book. You have so much to say. And you know, it's that exactly, family. Who told you? Who told you that God cannot take a woman who did not looked or see perfect in the eyes of God? Who told you that God cannot take her and elevate her into someone today? Family, I have to end this interview, even though I do not want to, but I'm so blessed. I'm also going to get all emotional. But thank you for listening until we meet again. Shalom.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.